As I mentioned to you yesterday, I had the schus to hear a number of hours of Divrei Torah, Divrei Halacha from Rav Asher Weiss on Tuesday, just yesterday. And for some of the time that we were zochet to hear from him, he was sharing with us some of the interesting Piskei Halacha that he wrote this past year, questions that were posed to him. And obviously, Rav Asher Weiss, one of the world's most sought after, most renowned poskim today, is receiving shilas from all over the world on every imaginable topic in halacha. So one example that he shared with us, which I think highlighted a perhaps not so well known quiet battle, if you will, that is ongoing in Eretz Yisrael. He said one of his brothers, he's the fourth of seven boys, I believe, one of his brothers was recently appointed to be the Rav of Beitar, which is over the Green Line. And so there is obviously always, unfortunately, much tension between the Arabs and the Jews trying to assert, maintain control over the land in Yehuda v'Shomron. And apparently, and then a quick Google search subsequently confirmed this, there is a quiet campaign being waged by the Palestinians and assisted by the Jordanians to plant as many trees as possible and as much of Yehuda v'Shomron as possible to thereby assert ownership over the land in which they plant those trees. And so after hearing this, I was not aware of this initially, did a quick Google search, came across an article published in Ynet about 4 years ago, 3.5 years ago, which reported that the PA has planted millions of trees in the West Bank in a ploy to claim the land and set facts on the ground, citing a report from the Israel Civil Administration that the Palestinian Ministry of Agriculture has implemented a plan to take over land by planting olive trees. And the Palestinians themselves report that the amount of space on which they planted these trees, 14.7 million trees, 241,000 acres of land that they now are claiming as theirs because they've planted their trees on this shetach. And the significance of this land grab tactic is the following. According to the land law in Israel, which applies to the West Bank, continuous processing of land allows the farmer to claim ownership of that land. And the Palestinians specifically focus on areas near Jewish communities to strategically position themselves to claim that land around Jewish neighborhoods, Jewish communities, to prevent expansion of those communities. So this is an ongoing Palestinian campaign. I found a report dating back to 2010, in which already then the Palestinians are planting 200,000 trees annually, double the average of previous years. So it's a serious, serious concern. So what's the shilah of Asher Weiss? The shilah post of Asher Weiss is the following. Of these trees that they plant are olive trees. So of the 14.7 million olive trees, 11.9 million are bearing fruit. The only defense that the Israeli residents have against this land grab is to find the trees soon after they're planted and pull them out. Which then, of course, poses the question of an Issur D'oraisa of Baal Tashchis. It's a fruit tree. And the only way to stop this land grab is to uproot the fruit tree. Issur D'oraisa of Baal Tashchis. What are you supposed to do? So this is a shaila that Rav Asher Weiss was asked by the Rav of Beitar, his brother, who obviously living in Yehuda v'Shomron has this issue that many of his neighborhood residents are contending with. So he cited a number of interesting makoros. Apparently this is true, but he wrote this year, I guess eventually to be published. And he wrote as follows. And again, it's remarkable to see just the breadth of his knowledge of poskim in all eras of halacha. He first cited a tree knot. Clearly, if there was pikuach nefesh at stake, you'd be allowed to violate any issur d'oraisa, including baal tashchis. The question is, could you really consider this particular olive tree a pikuach nefesh situation to allow cutting it out? Not likely, because there's no right now pikuach nefesh concern. It's a more of a longer term strategic plan of theirs. So first of all, Shawai cited a Tshuvas Beis Shlomo Drimmer of Skolia, mid-1800s, about whom he said, interestingly, that he has written what Rav Shawai feels to be some of the most remarkable Tshuvas that he's seen, in terms of his analysis of the halachic shahs that he deals with. And in this particular tshuva, I took a quick look at it. It's a much, much longer tshuva that deals primarily with Kalai Elon Shilas, about maintaining trees that have been planted from a hybrid of different types of trees, a fruit tree, a non-fruit tree, and the Issur Drabanan of maintaining such a tree, and can you pull it out if it's partially a fruit tree? So in the context of that very, very long tshuva, which is all Zeroyim focused, and so, unfortunately, I and many others, perhaps, our eyes glaze over when we read all these diyunim about Zeroyim Inyonim, which we're not dealing with on a regular basis. But in the context of that tshuva, Rav Asher Weiss quoted, Beis Shlomo writes, number one, that he thinks before the tree takes root, there's no issur baal tashchis. He says baal tashchis means only after it takes root. You can't destroy it, uproot it. It hasn't taken root yet, so then if you catch it right away, you do your daily patrols outside your community wherever you live across the Green Line, and you find last night they planted a sapling, so you hop around very quickly before it strikes roots, you can take it out. So that's the svar that the Beis Shlomo mentions, which Rav Asher Weiss quoted as one sniff lahakel. Now, how long is that? Well, we know when it comes to other types of crops, there are different opinions in the Tanoim. We had this in Daf Yomi not too long ago. Does it take 3 days for grain to take root? Does it take 14 days? Does it take 30 days? So anywhere within that range, if one can assume that the trees have not yet struck roots in the ground, according to the Beis Shlomo, you would avoid the issur of baal tashchis. That was one svar that he quoted. He then cited a tshuva of Tzvi Pesach Frank in Har Tzvi, Or HaChaim Chelek Beis, Simen Kuf Beis. Here the tshuva relates to very different shaila, also baal tashchis related. The question here was, someone wants to remove a fruit tree, which happened to be an orla fruit tree within the first 3 years of it being planted, to make room for a sukkah. Are you allowed to cut down a fruit tree, in this case an orla fruit tree, to make room for a sukkah? So Tzvi Pesach Frank here discusses the following svaras. He says, number one, there is a rush in Maseches Bava Kamma, and this is cited by the Taz in Yeridea, Simen Kuf Tes Zayin. And the rush writes that the issur of baal tashchis does not apply, says the Rush, if one is uprooting the fruit tree because tsarach limkomo, he needs the location for his own living space where the tree happens to be. And the Taz, quoting that Rush, writes the following: Umizehi tarti la'echad shahayelo karka im ilanos, lakut sa'ilanos, the Taz on the basis of that rush said, if the trees are infringing upon your living space, you need to build a home, build an apartment, build a house to live in, then that takes priority over the Isser of baal tashchis. It doesn't apply under those circumstances. And here the Taz writes this as well. He says, again, the Lashon is, the kasef harasham, the chain, imhayat sarchlim komo mutter. The rush says that when it's sarchlim komo, it's permissible, and on that basis, he allowed the cutting down of a fruit tree to build a base dira. So writes the Taz here in Kuftes Zion, Sifkatan Vav. So Sifkatan Sachman quotes that as one possible svar lahakel, where one needs the space, although he does acknowledge that maybe there's a difference between a house and a sukkah, short-term, long-term, residence, perhaps. But nonetheless, that is a very important svar of the Rush, which is quoted by the Taz, lahalacha, lahalacha. Another svar, which Tzvi Pesach Frank quotes, he says, well, maybe the fact that the tree is an orla tree, maybe that's a sniff lahakel. Why is that? Because during the years of orla, the fruit are asa bahana, it's considered that it doesn't belong to you, it's enu shalo, you can't eat it, you can't benefit from it. Maybe the Isra Baltashas doesn't apply when the fruit is asa bahana, during the first 3 years when it's still an orla tree. It's considered hefker, it's not considered yours. Maybe that would be grounds to argue that Isra Baltashas doesn't apply. So, borrowing those svaras, Rav Asher Weiss argued here as well. You're dealing with olive trees that are planted just recently, certainly within the first 3 years, there's no questions, even the first few weeks, perhaps. So there definitely are still the years of Orla. And then he argued further. He said, if the Taz is willing to be makel, to allow someone to uproot a tree for the sake of building a house. So here we're dealing with Eretz Yisrael, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. We know how chashuv Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is. Chazal willing to be makel on an Isra Mi'ol Akum, to have a guy write a shtar mechir for you on Shabbos to purchase land in Eretz Yisrael from a non-Jew, to make sure it comes into Jewish possession, Jewish ownership. So here we're dealing with the potential land grab question. Is this going to be Arab territory versus Jewish territory? Pashut, he says, that the same cheshbon, if you can, according to the Taz, override Baal Tashkas for the sake of a base dira, well, for the sake of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, he argued, certainly as well, one would have that same argument in this case also. Then he argued, this is a fascinating svara, what would happen if you have a fellow who is unethical and decides to plant a fruit tree in your backyard without your rishus? Someone walks into your backyard or front garden and plants a fruit tree, a sapling, in your yard without your rishus. So all of a sudden you're stuck. No, you can't do anything about it. If I want to get back at someone in a lam donisha way, so I just take a fruit sapling and stick it into his front yard, plant it, say, ha-ha, now you're done. Now you have this big tree in front of your house forevermore. Does that work? Interesting question. Can someone, be'isser, be'gezel, so to speak, impose upon you that isser baltashkes? So Rav Asher Weiss thought that no one has the right to violate gezel by planting a fruit tree in your chatzer and then insist, oh, you can't take it out. He wrote, he said, Misvari thinks that if somebody plants a fruit tree, big zela, in your property, you have a hatter to take it out. Interesting svara. I'm not sure he quoted Maramakomas to support that, but he argued here as well. If this is going to be all gzela, they're just seizing land, putting fruit trees here, there, and everywhere. They don't have that right to impose the Isra Baltashkas on the Jewish landowners by planting it big zela. That was another svara that he argued would apply under these circumstances. And finally, he addressed one last issue, also a fascinating issue. There are poskim that are hesitant when it comes to uprooting fruit trees, regardless of whether they can find heter and bahalacha to allow it, because of concerns that there is a sakana, that there is a sakana. So Rav Asher Weiss felt that if api din, shas, rishonim, achronim, it's mutter to be oker this tree, he said he doesn't think that one has to be choshesh for sakana. How can it be that he didn't mutter, and yet don't do it because of sakana? If halacha defines this as mutter, there should not be sakana concerns either. So, often there are discussions in Sfarim about those things that are not begeder, isra v'heter altogether, But Alpi, whatever the basis is, you're right. Sakana. It's supposed to be a chassid about certain things that some were makbet for, some were not makbet for, that are begetta sakana. But he felt that when there is an Isser d'oraisa, which is discussed in the psukim, in the shah, in the gemaras, in the rishonim, in the achronim, that defines yes or no. You know, the sakanas you're referring to are those that have no makoros in shas and poskim. So, okay, we don't have any tools to determine yes or no. This is very clear. Isser d'oraisa, psukim, gemaras, rishonim, achronim. If it's mutter, it's mutter. That was his feeling. He concluded that if possible, if one can appoint a non-Jew to be your shliach to do it, I'm not sure how doable that is given the circumstances here, but if one can appoint a non-Jewish shliach to do it, and even better, he said, to uproot it and plant it somewhere else, that would be the ideal. But Etzem, he figured, he passed him that this was mutar al-pidin to do.